philosophers in
space.
What happened to your eyes?
Where am I going? We won't need eyes to see.
Where are they?
I don't know, sir. They must have hyperjets on that thing.
And what do we got on this thing? A Cuisinart?
No, sir.
We'll find them, catch them.
Would like to ask a question.
What is it?
Will I dream?
Brain bugs? Frankly, I find the idea of a bug that thinks offensive.
Hello and welcome to Philosophers in Space. I was gonna make a joke, but you know, it's probably more of an After Dark type joke that I can't. That's gonna be a lot of this show. we're post virtual coitus just now, but we're stepping out of that to record an episode. How's it going, Aaron?
It's going all right. I like that we're finally raising really important questions, like which video game character would you like to have sex as the most? I feel like everyone goes the wrong way and thinks about which one you want to have sex with. But I think sex as is a really interesting question here.
That's I can't wait to talk about that because I don't really care about that at all. we can argue about it. But joining us, fine, this is very important. We're completing the glorious love triangle of Puzzle in a Thunderstorm, folks. It's Heath Enright. How are you doing, Heath?
Hello, everybody. I think we're all bisexual, first of all. And I think you guys might be post VR coitus, but I am still going.
Still at it.
Is it just a stalled out like video game screen where like we've disconnected, but like you're still going at it with us? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool because the stalled thing, it's like I'm in slow-mo. It's fun.
It's like glitching. Yeah.
Racking
and then it'll do the
points.
Thing where it'll like go slow for a little while and then go super fast, like to catch up to the.
Oh yeah, the buffering is actually, you wouldn't believe the buffering.
Oh,
buffering
wow.
The fuck out.
Well,
of it.
This brings us closer. We're very close now to completing our entire citation needed gang. We just need Tom, and then we've collected them all. I can't
Exciting.
Wait.
Exciting.
So we watched Striking Vipers, the first episode of the latest. That is the fifth season of Black Mirror, and it was some things. Things happened. It was hence all the weird jokes. It's about some dudes getting together, the old-fashioned VR bromance, have sex with each other as video game characters.
Classic story.
Yeah.
It really does encapsulate everything about male adolescence. I'll give them that.
So interesting. And I thought to myself, you know, this is my chance to finally get Heath to, just to you know, have Heath on the show.
Yeah. It's very similar to Wuthering Heights, actually, if you think about it.
Do y'all want space or do you prefer to be watched? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Watched from a distance, that's your cake.
Good times. I am...
you got it.
From a distance, yeah. Can't be too close. Got to need a little
safety.
Start
thinking about high-powered telescopes. Oof.
Mm. Oh, man. This was a weird one. This was a really interesting one, and I was like, this will be so funny. It's also a perfect one for a bunch of dudes to come talk about. You know, most of the time, it's like, all right, enough dudes. But this one, I think it's good. It's good. It's like, it brings in, you know, kind of a... like a adolescent male video game relationship, and then in the episode of Black Mirror, it kind of blossoms into something else, and it's perfect to have some dudes talk about it.
Yeah, Heath, sexuality, gender, the spectrum of the whole thing. It's perfect for three white dudes. Yeah. Yep,
it's a real male page sausage.
We need no other perspectives. Correct.
I didn't say we didn't need other perspectives. I just was saying like this is one we can do is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I was wondering if Heath, if you wanted to attempt doing the exposition for us, or if not, we can certainly assist. What do you think? Do you want to give us the breakdown? Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll give you the basics.
You're traveling through another dimension beyond that which is known to podcasters. It is the middle ground between fair use and copyright infringement, between ordinary fanboying and meaningful analysis. It is the exposition zone.
So the episode's about two friends who know each other in their 20s, and then they're in their 30s. One of them's married, and the other friend, who's a single guy, shows up, and for the married guy's birthday, he gives him the new version of the old video game they used to play, like Street Fighter 2, but like super fancy VR version in the semi-near future. And you can plug that into your temple. I think your brain's in your temple, so you get a little thing on your temple, yep. And you kind of pass out on your couch, and you go into the game, and the two of you can, like, you know, fight like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, and you can feel the hits, and it's a completely immersive virtual reality fighting game. And from there, we explore human sexuality.
Yeah, it doesn't take long, I don't think, from my memory of it.
I mean, the connection between human sexuality and violence is, you know, it's basically an overlapping circle at that point, right?
Yeah.
For men, so for young men, I should say. Everything in this episode is caveated as for young men.
Yes, good disclaimer. Yes. So, I mean, that's the basics, and then we can get into the specifics, but I think I got that ground laid for you.
Yeah, and it's what's interesting is it becomes kind of an addiction for both of them for some reason. There's a lot to this episode that I don't really understand how it would work. Like, I'm trying to fill in what facts would need to be true about these characters for this to work. For me, I don't get it personally, but maybe, maybe Aaron will talk
to me. I wish you would get it,
Thomas.
I wish you would. I wish you would understand.
You have two kids now. How have you not entered the gay gaming virtual affair phase of your relationship?
Exactly. You're there. I have no kids. I've done that.
No, I have no kids. It's not, I don't really get it. But like the things that are interesting, here's some interesting, possibly relevant to the discussion of identity and sexuality facts. One character is always, one of the characters in Black Mirror is always the same fighting character. So like one is, and I love these two actors doing the like Street Fighter cosplay. It's pretty awesome. I totally love that part.
Yeah.
And one of them is like the Asian male character and the other is it like the Chun-Li?
Yeah, it feels like type. A Chun-Li or like a Melina from Mortal Kombat-ish.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going for Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. It's kind of either or, I guess. But they're always the same. What's interesting is they're always the same two characters. So I don't know if that's part of their kink.
That's like dumb, is what I think.
Yeah,
that is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't make
stupid.
Any sense. We don't. Well, okay. Well,
it's
we
just
don't,
lazy
we'll give you
writing.
One.
Like, obviously, you try other. Like, we're exploring the human sexuality of this. We'll explain exactly why that happens in a second, but they don't switch characters, and that's nuts. That's just lazy.
That's what
writing.
I don't get. But FYI, we also don't curse on the main show. We'll do a little after dark when we can open up the cursing. So just FYI, Heath. But that'll be in the bonus segment. But I'm sure people just heard a very loud foghorn when you curse or something. And then the other thing that's relevant is they get addicted to it to the point where it like really eats into the actually both of their relationships. The other guy is one guy's married. The other guy's like living his best life. It's like he's like as a record producer, I want to say, and he's like hooked up with this younger girl that's super sexy. So it's trying to make the point that like even though that guy basically has he's already living the fantasy that in another story the married guy would want to be living, I think, is the point of that. And yet he's still so drawn to this weird relationship. Well, I shouldn't judge it, to this interesting and atypical relationship that they have in this fighting game where they just go have sex constantly.
Yeah, there we go. I was about to say, can we get to it? They have sex in the video game.
Time. Yeah, I thought you already said that.
Which you would obviously program into your video game. Just like, obviously.
I know, that's the funny thing about it. Like, why would they, why even start with a fighting game thing? Like, I feel like someone would have just made, this is called Sex the Game. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's kind of funny that it's like, they're still pretending it's a fighting game.
You need a permission structure, Thomas. You can't just walk straight into Sex the Game with your best friend.
Yeah. Ninja fighting has a lot of important rules and regulations, and I think that goes well. Absolutely.
That's a good... It's like playing spin the bottle as a kid to try to get... You know. Sure, it's about a game, but then it goes other... I see. It's a little permission.
Sex and violence need to go hand in hand. What?
And it gets to the point, and I guess we'll give a little spoiler warning. I think it's probably worth saying what the end result is, because I think it has implications on the discussion. It gets to the point where the married dude's wife is like almost going to cheat on him, but like doesn't quite because she's still trying to make things work. And she's confused. She has no idea what's happening because why would you? Because the first time, whenever my wife is like, Hey, you're a little distant. Have you started up an online VR sex relationship with your best male friend?
Yeah.
Like, that's the...
Let me ask you something. First... Are you switching characters or are you doing the same characters every time? Because that would be boring. I would be disappointed in that case.
I know. I really... That part really does bother me. I don't understand how that was supposed to work. But anyway, it gets to the point where eventually he kind of comes clean with it. And in the end of the show, spoiler warning again... Not that it doesn't really matter that much, but we want to give our warnings where they're due. Spoiler warning, they kind of form a deal where, like, once a year, I guess on his birthday, the guy gets to go have sex with the dude in the video game, and the wife gets to go, like, have an actual real-life affair because, you know, she's an adult.
Judgy, no, I think both are affairs, Thomas. I think they both count equally as affairs.
Yeah, that's something we should talk about.
Is it cheating? I think it's cheating for sure.
No, right? I think it's crappy open relationship. Like, I just think that, like, it's another part of where they could have gone so much farther with this episode, and then instead we get this vanilla ending. One day a year? You live in the future.
I know. Yeah. One day a year.
Okay.
I know. It's like, and like, I wanted to see if there was going to be any attempt to get the wife in on it. Like, maybe that she logs into the game as something, you know, as exactly. Like scorpions or something.
Yeah. I wanted to see, honestly, I wanted to see the wife to just show up and beat the shit out of the two of them in the game. Just log like in and jump in. And
they
like
want to have
scorpion
sex
them.
And she's just doing the actual, like,
get over here. Just punching them up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or she comes in as the, what's the cold one? I can't remember.
Sub-Zero.
Yeah. Just freezes them both. It's like a cold shower to them. She just freezes them and they can't do it. Maybe that's the adult override, like the parent override system. But yeah, so I don't know. There's just so much. I don't know if, you know, Aaron, if Socrates ever covered this, I don't know. But there's a lot to talk about, like, in terms of identity, and, like, I'm very interested in the issue of, like, human relationships and human sexual relationships in, like, a post-physical realm, you know? Because it's very interesting to think about. So I don't know if you wanted to maybe talk a little bit about the philosophy you wanted to bring into this one.
Yeah, so I want to dive into some stuff that I think we touched on a little bit back when Noah was on and we did Snow Crash, but that builds on the multifaceted nature of identity as, you know, something that we construct, but we construct different identities in different situations. And in the virtual world, there's a lot of complexity, a lot of differences in how it seems like identity can be formed, and how that then plays out, as you were describing, in terms of things like differences in sexuality. I feel like, and, you know, y'all correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think often when we think about these issues, it's like, you know, especially for us on the sort of left post-structural, like, your entire identity is a construct. So if you go into a virtual world, we sort of imagine that with no boundaries, people would just do completely whatever they want, right? They'd pick all the characters, right? They'd obviously have sex with the bear a lot,
Jesus.
Obviously. But it seems like the relationship between the real life identity and the virtual identity is actually more complex than that. That there might be, similar to how your real world identity grows out of your biology and out of your social circumstances, that you could see sort of similarly limited identities, or at least not limited, but like sort of determined or conditioned by other factors arising in these environments. So I do think that's something that they sort of get right, even though it's lame that they don't go farther with it. What do y'all think, though? Do you feel like, do you see what I mean in terms of how, like, the fact that they keep choosing these same characters that are the characters that they played a bunch of times growing up, like, that plays a role in their identity formation and their relationship in this virtual world?
I mean, I definitely wanted to see, like, Sonic the Hedgehog come into play. I mean, they mentioned polar bears,
issues.
And then that's the end of it. It was one of the funniest lines in the episode where guy's like, I had sex with a polar bear, trying to get some other similar thing. Because, you know, the married guy kind of breaks up with the single guy for a little bit because it's messing up his marriage. And the single guy that is stuck kind of just exploring this world by himself and having weird sex. Or, again, yeah, let's not judge it. Just interesting in-game sex with different characters. And at one point he's like, I had sex with a polar bear. I tried everything. It's not the same. So the two of them are actually maybe, like, you know, personally in love in addition to in lust. And I thought that was interesting too.
But this is okay. I don't want to bog it down with things that Thomas didn't think worked about this, but I don't understand, like, how does it have to be true that both there's too many things that don't make sense. If they wanted to build it like that, like it was a personal, like, affection that even though they're actually kind of both straight guys, they have such an affection for each other that in this virtual world, it's this love affair. Is that, do you think that's what they're trying to go for? But then why is one always content to being the male in the game and one's always content to being the female? And like, and he, at one point too, the non-married guy who's always the female character, he's like, yeah, sex as this female character is 1,000 times better than as a man. And I wanted to hear the other guy be like, oh, well then let's switch or whatever. Like, right. Well, yeah. So we switch off. That would be the natural thing. But like, yeah, that part of it, I don't fully understand. I also don't think they set up the relationship that well before the whole video game stuff. Like it, I guess they do show the scene of like, oh, they played the game all night and smoked weed that one night. Like that was the one bit we get. But other than that, they're pretty like weird and cold to each other all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it was a super close friendship where they talk and share feelings and whatever. So like, I just don't understand.
That's fine.
Like,
message received, Thomas. Message received. That's fine.
No, what I'm saying is it wasn't the obviously tumultuous relationship you and I have, the relationship where there's obviously tension at every turn, but
clearly,
you know, we're both stuck in our hetero lifestyle.
I love playing video games with you.
I mean, I do think that there's the coldness that you're reading in there, I read as deliberately distancing for the sake of not addressing these feelings.
Yes.
So like, yes. And that's why I think it's good that it's about.
But even before the whole video game thing, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think part of what this episode is about, and sorry for sorry to be gender specific about this, but like, part of it is that like, men aren't allowed, I think, to express tender feelings towards each other, and that, I mean, speaking personally, right, a lot of my interactions with my male friends growing up was done through video games, and that was sort of a space in which you could sort of get physical without getting physical, in a sense.
Yeah, I would definitely say that Carl, the single guy, is more aware in real life that he is perhaps bisexual or perhaps gay.
Yeah,
and Anthony Mackie, who plays the married guy, Falcon, is assuming at least at the moment that he's straight and married to a woman, and that's his whole sexuality right there. But I think he learns a little bit about himself, so...
Well, and this is where I want to get back to
the best scene in the entire friggin' thing is when they decide, like, they're trying to figure out, you know, they're trying to grapple with this whole thing, you know, because they don't really know what exactly is happening. So they get to a point where they decide to meet up, and like the it's so good. The meme that you're going to see forever that I think I've already seen. I'm trying to remember what it was, but the meme was just the screenshot of the guy saying, just kiss me, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was, I already saw it on something. Yeah. But anyway, it's great because they want to find out like what is going on here. And I think what did you guys read from that scene? Because they try kissing and I feel like it doesn't really, they end up fighting each other, which, you know, that could be, again, some of the societal kind of the not having that permission to have that relationship as to quote unquote straight men, you know, if that's what they are.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to read into that scene entirely, but it did seem, you know, when they decide in the end that they'll continue doing this, they do continue doing it in the game. They don't strike up a relationship in real life. So there's something going on there.
Yeah. I would say when they have that moment, they're like, all right, we're going to kiss in real life. Meet me at this corner. And they go to a weird garbage filled rainy alley, which was a weird pick. And they... you know, they're like, all right, so let's kiss each other. And they have this weird moment like, do you go or do I go? And they're just like kind of fake punching each other for a second. But then they finally kiss. And my interpretation was that Carl, the single guy, pretends that, okay, there were no sparks right after Anthony Mackie, the married guy, says, okay, no sparks. So that's nothing. Okay. And the other guy's like, yeah, nothing. Nope, not me. Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
And they show him later as a single guy with a cat, which is kind of like code, you know what I mean?
I think that's certainly one way you could interpret it. And that would sort of go with the like classic understanding of the way that virtual identity people thought would play out, in the sense that like virtual identity would be where you would go to experiment with all of the things that you want to do in real life but are afraid to do. I do think there's one other way to potentially interpret this that maybe is I find personally more interesting, which is that what you get and want in the virtual world may actually be sort of fundamentally different and not reducible to getting something out in the real world. So like, for example, take the guy, not Falcon, who keeps being the woman, right? We don't get the impression in this that he's transgender or anything like that, that he's having sort of gender a dysphoria or something in the real world, but he seems to really enjoy being this woman in the virtual world. And I don't think that those two things actually conflict, right? It might be the case that I really like being one kind of identity in the real world and a totally different identity in the virtual, and the same could be true for my relationships as well, right? I may really genuinely not want to have sex with my best friend in the real world, but I would totally love to bang him in a virtual world of some sort.
Interesting. Yeah. I also think it's so fascinating how much our you know, little monkey brains like have to put, like, if you met somebody, let's say there's just a virtual environment, you know, and you meet someone who you don't know and they acted exactly the same, I think you would be fine. Like, there wouldn't be all this weirdness. Whereas when you know, like, if you were just in the skins of these characters, these fighters or whatever, you know, whereas if you know the guy behind this, there's all this like weird tension, you know, like, you know, okay, that's not really this video game, you know, hot girl, you know, this is actually this friend I know. Like, it's funny how that works, even though I bet you anything, if the actions and words were kind of exactly the same, it still is such a weirdness that to our minds, because we're like, wait, but I'm not actually with, you know, like it's almost, if you didn't know, it could be some other dude somewhere controlling it. You know, like Trump said, the guy who hacked the DNC could be some overweight dude in a basement or whatever. Like,
OK, question. What if the wife secretly like murdered Carl, the single guy, and played on Carl's console and started fucking her husband in the game, but he didn't know? Would that be cheating for her also? Like, is she cheating on her husband with her husband at that point, in addition to him cheating on her with her? Well,
I think that's the thing that I find confusing to me, is that it's apparently there's something about the way that they're having sex that is just, to the other guys, just can't be found anywhere else, which I don't, like, I mean,
well,
maybe this will be like Thomas reveals too much about himself. That doesn't work for me at all. Like, that doesn't strike me as anything I could possibly relate to in any way. Like, I don't get how it'd be like this specific person, even though you could have somebody else play the character, you know, like it would be so unique that you need this exact person. 'Cause they don't talk while they're having sex. That's the thing that's weird about it. I don't really understand.
But they have a cuddle moment. Their relationship. They have that like post cuddle moment where they talk about feels like to be a lady, and which was a great description. He describes like female orgasm, female sex as an orchestra instead of a guitar solo. And I just wanted to play this game so bad as a woman.
I know. I cannot wait for the After Dark segment. It's gonna be an interesting one, everybody.
Orchestra? I'm a little scared too. Whatever. I'll need to have stuff explained to me.
Mine's a kazoo.
I got sounds advanced. Nothing. Mine's just like humming.
Chimes. This part made sense to me. And again, you know, I read it all in metaphors, but in a metaphorical way, the idea was there are certain parts of their identities that can become fluid in that environment, that they're okay being different characters in this kind of way. But there needs to be that inner essence of the same identity, right? We've talked about like Ship of Theseus on this before, that like, you know, everything physically about them can be different, but like you were describing, there's a sense of connection to that essential part of the other person that he couldn't quite get. I love the way he describes, he's trying to find all these people to have sex with, and like he finds one guy who's like halfway decent, even though he has a weird accent. But like, imagine that. Yeah. Like, I could see how there might be someone who I have a really close connection to in the real world, and I want to engage with that way in a virtual world, and it would be different than with any other person, even if they look identical to another person playing a character.
But if that's what's happening, the other guy, the married dude, didn't try anybody else in that virtual world, you know? So, right. Does he know that it's just that he's really into that guy? I don't know. It's confusing to me. I find it confusing.
I feel like they should have also masturbated in the game, too, as like a first step. You know what I mean?
During the warm-ups? They didn't do that. Instead of the opening fight?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it would be, remember, was it Street Fighter, which in between rounds, you'd have that, like, you have to destroy a car, you know?
You should like destroying your clit like a car.
Yeah, in between matches, you got to beat up the pile of bricks and then the car.
Yeah, it's like that. I think that would be
the barrels that keep rolling across this thing.
Test your might.
I think destroying a car is a good new metaphor for masturbation. I think we should run with that.
I don't know. I tried it. And, you know, it's a weird, awkward conversation to have. But like, you've tried
destroying a car during sex?
Yes. No. I've tried to think about like what I would want out of this, and I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like I'm cool with the relationshipy parts of my relationships. You know, like I don't need. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk.
I get the idea where you get to inhabit different characters and bodies, and that would be interesting. Like, I'm all down for that. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Who would you
play? They don't do that. They just got one. Because I want to be Blanca. Blanca would be pretty fun. I want to see how that guy does it.
Sure. Who's got the electricity thing? That's intense.
So many really.
Wait, if we're talking about masturbation, E Honda definitely has the edge on anybody else.
Oh, 100 hand slap or 1,000 hand slap, whatever that's called. That's useful.
So there's another question I think tied in here with the identity issues that I think you mentioned before a little bit, Thomas. Like, what are y'all's takes on is this a cheating relationship? Is in the virtual world is all bets off? Like, what are your intuitions about sort of the ethics of this kind of relationship versus having real life relationships? Should he have told his wife up front in the beginning? You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I got to be honest. My first instinct was, this is not cheating. And then I talked about it with a couple of people, and they're like, what are you talking about? That's obviously cheating. Idiot. And all of them gave me approximately the same explanation, which was like, yeah, obviously without the consent of your partner, if you're in a committed married relationship, that's cheating. Dumbass.
So, Heath, prior to this, did you think that like, if you're in a relationship, but then you found another person, but you each wrapped like paper around yourselves that had a different drawing of a person on it and had sex with that, like that's fine.
Interesting.
Is cosplay cheating?
Is a sex robot cheating?
I mean, I think that's a good question, actually. Cheating. Now we get back on the philosophy.
Like let's get back to it. How good of a sex robot before it becomes cheating?
Right.
That's the thing. If this game, it becomes these things, I think technology will render these parochial human cheaty relationship questions kind of meaningless. Because imagine all these fighting games, you don't just have the player versus player. You got the computer in there too. So there's got to be, there's got to be the computer mode of like, all right,
Is that what about just a mirror like, match?
You virtual could have
sex fight with yourself. Sex fight with yourself in a mirror match. I think that's an interesting one, too, that they didn't do. How did they not show any of this? This should be most of the episode.
Right. The ultimate philosophical question, would you have sex with or fight your clone? And they could have answered with both.
With definitely yes. Exactly.
Definitely all of the above.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like they opened up that Pandora's box and they're like, wait a minute, we can't. This is TV. There's no way.
I found it so frustrating. We have to still have ending.
Like normal people watch this.
Like, his Come wife on. Seems super chill this entire episode. Why would he think that she, like, couldn't figure out a way to be cool with this and make this more interesting? Like,
wait, what? No, she does. Doesn't it cause huge problems with them? Like,
well, but they end up coming to that agreement. I think it's partly because, like, he didn't tell her in the first place. Like, I get the impression early on that she's pretty chill.
Well, yeah, she's cool enough to, when she finds out, grant him the hall pass on his birthday, and she like takes the video game out of the closet, and she's like,
that's
"Here you go."
That's not a granting of a hall pass. That's a that's a treaty. That's a we're gonna
double do hall whatever. Pass.
Yeah, as a polyamorous person, I found this deeply unsatisfying. I was just like, "There's so many better options here. Go see a therapist together. Figure this out."
I know they never once were like, "Do you want to put a thingy on your head and come join us? Like, get us in, or do something, or
go see a therapist in the game and have sex with some therapists, do just some little three stuff. I don't know,
right? Oh, I want to play Hannibal Lecter in the game. That sounds like fun.
I wonder if in their in this, was the purpose of her to kind of express that idea that some people have that, like, well, virtual isn't real, you know, because she is not interested in a virtual relationship with anybody. She's very much interested in a flesh and blood, I'm going to go to a bar and, you know, pick up a guy kind of thing, or have a guy pick up me. Like, that's, I don't know if that's her role in this, is to be that voice of a character who's like, yeah, I don't care about this virtual stuff. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's, you know, it's another level to this identity question of, like, are you the sort of individual who makes a genuine, thinks there is a genuine distinction between virtual intimacy and real life intimacy? That could be very different person to person. Yeah. And I think,
well, you know what, the first thing that occurred to me was I was just thinking, like, if in this, assuming the way this game works, you know, is you're getting all the same sensations, or maybe even better, I guess, somehow. But, like, I love this idea that we have this virtual game, and you think, like, oh, all the possibilities that you could have sex with all these different people, da 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 da, and you realize, like, you could just do that, but real. Like, we need this, like, layer of protection, you know, or whatever. But, like, somehow, well, when you have that virtual layer to it, then it's, even though there's real people and you're like, their brains are feeling it and your brain is feeling it, you know, it's like somehow different. It's funny.
Right. Which leads to a weird question. What about if there's a child character in the game, but adults are playing it?
Ooh.
Well, see, this came up in real life. Yikes. In Second Life 2, there's been a lot of debate about the use of childlike avatars in sexual activity.
Right.
Yeah, it's a tough. I mean, and it's very similar, like, in some ways,
society,
to the question of childlike sex robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that could potentially, on one side of the coin, allow people who we don't want to be having any sex in real life be able to have some kind of, you know, sexual feelings going on and some sort of sexual actions going on without violating the consent of a real life child. But other side of the coin, A, that's gross. And B, I've heard stats that say you could potentially be reinforcing behavior that increases your likelihood of acting that out in the real world.
Yeah, that's the open empirical question is the hard part. I mean, the gross part doesn't, like, I feel like philosophically we can move past gross as a measure of ethics, but the other question I think is really important.
I think maybe you can, but I bet you society can.
Well, no, that's right.
What I was going to say, like, is, as a society, we're like, no, this is such a horrible thing that you can't even, you know, do you know that if you, the laws are, and it might be vary from state to state, but if you, like, take a picture of, like, a grown person, like a porn picture of a grown person, and just put a child's, like, cut out a child's photo of a head and put it on that body, it's like child porn. Like, we're that harsh as a society.
You got to do it really, like, bad. You got to be really bad at Photoshop, or else that's super,
I know,
problematic.
Like, it's even making something that, you know, is not a real thing. Like, we still arrest people on, like, child porn charges for it.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe there will be listeners who are like, yeah, good.
Since we're almost at the end here, I'll drop a real controversial conclusion. I think that, like, on the issue of pedophiles, are as a society's understandable negative views of that behavior cloud our ability to effectively treat those individuals. And this could certainly be an example of that kind of situation.
Yes. So I guess deontology might say, you know, no having sex with child avatars, but utilitarianism would say yes.
Very possibly.
Possibly. Yeah. Oh, I just noticed we're out of time. Well, that, I can't believe we snuck the pedophilia question into the main show rather than the After Dark segment, but that's philosophy for you. We found a way. What do you say? Shall we wrap it up and go over to where Heath, you can finally curse after we go over to the After Dark segment.
You can finally, Jesus.
All right, well, we're about to go After Dark, but any final thoughts for the main show here from anybody?
Okay, I'm going to say it's better to happily have sex with a Nintendo pig than masturbate as Socrates in real life, all sad.
Tis better to have screwed a bear and lost than to have never screwed a bear at all, I think, right? This is the second prestige drama, by the way, where people have vividly described having sex with a bear, but I didn't get to see it. So, Black Mirror and Game of Thrones, you're on my bad list right now.
All right. Well, on that note, let's go to the part of the show where we talk without restraint and uncensored. Now that we've finished all the very reined in stuff. No, thank you, normies, for listening. We appreciate you so much. Sorry. You're going to want to go to patreon.com/zeroG and check out the After Dark segment with Heath and with Heath and us, because I'm sure there will be lots of fun stuff on this episode.
Thanks to our $25 tier patrons, John Titor's General Store and Antiques, Corey Ebert, Winchester's Never Die, Make Politics Boring Again, Please, and Alex Arnett, and a very special Maximum Utility thanks to our $50 Definitely Not a Clone patrons, Philip Gatt, Chad Trait, Thomas Explains the Patreon Names is my new favorite segment, and back over to you to read the last few names. Thank you all so much.
Oh, Heath. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Heath, and everybody will know where to find you.
And yeah, check out The Scathing Atheist and God Awful Movies and The Skepticrat and Citation Needed, and just, you know, Google those or find them on a podcast thing. Y'all know how to do it.
So hop on over and check that out. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for the main show, but if you'd like to go to patreon.com/zeroG, you can enjoy Philosophers in Space After Dark. Here's a little sneak peek for you.
Brian's, cutting in the bear gender.
So, the bear's gender was obviously male. That's important. Plug that in.
Has been a burst transmission of Philosophers in Space. All music written and performed by Thomas Smith. If you've enjoyed your infotainment upload, please locate the nearest podcast interface device and fill it with 5-star ratings and glowing reviews. If you think Ground Control should spring for fun new goodies and content, consider supporting us at patreon.com/zeroG. You can find us on Twitter at zeroG Philosophy, where Aaron will instantly and compulsively respond. Or you can email us at philosophersinspace@gmail.com. Finally, if you're sad that it takes so long for our signals to reach Earth, you can always find Thomas over at Serious Inquiries Only and Opening Arguments, and Aaron over at Embrace the Void. Until next time, live long and philosopher.
I had sex with a polar bear. I tried everything. It's not the same.